Yes, good morning and thank you, Mark. I would like to also echo what Joe said. We have three of our directors from Europe, from the Western Hemisphere, and also from Asia here with us today. So I'll try and not delve into their areas as much and let them get to the details as far as all the dynamics that are just inherent in their markets, especially in today's environment. There's just a lot of change in all respects, from production to disease to challenges to market access to competition. So when we take a look at the international marketplace, there's a plethora of issues, a plethora of challenges, but I do think the U.S. Meat Export Federation has been very well positioned over the years to address these challenges. We've grown up with a lot of these markets as they've started to import product. We worked with them in the very initial years, and so there's a very strong historical background, as well as I think which also helps us to predict, I think, outcomes and what we see and envision in the years to come. I would say, as has been indicated, this has been, I think, a relatively good year for the red meat industry. I think that we've done better than actually we probably envisioned. When you consider that through August, beef exports are up about 3% in volume and about 13% in value. I think this is very important, and it looks like we're going to continue on in that value pace. As we look at pork, we're up about 6% in volume and about 15% in value through August. So I think this is very significant when you look at some of the challenges we've had at home, et cetera. And then on lamb, we're down about 20% on volume and about 3% in value. So we're still challenged on the lamb side, but we're trying to do as much as we can to gain access for lamb. We have a Taiwan team, for example, that's just been in the United States looking at our lamb infrastructure and our risk mitigation measures as far as lamb is concerned. So we do see that U.S. lamb will be a factor, hopefully, once again back in the Asian markets. I think that, just to begin, I think probably one of the key things that I would like to say is, and say to everybody that's on the call, is that, we really appreciate the support that you've given the industry and the greater industry when it comes to these USDA programs called MAP and the Foreign Market Development, the FMD program. These are central programs to us as far as our exports and as far as all agricultural exports. And I think if the Secretary was here, he would be very proud of the fact that we're going to exceed $150 billion in probably U.S. exports of total agricultural products this year. When we take a look at this, it plays a very significant role in the USMEF programs. Government programs, for example, constitute about 39% of MEF's total funding. So this is very central. It also pays the rents for many of our offices overseas and for a lot of our staff and personnel. So it's very significant to us that these programs that are part of the U.S. Farm Bill, part of the trade title in the Farm Bill, that they are sustained. And so anything we can do as far as sustaining these programs, I think, is key to the viability of the industry internationally. I would also say that right now we all know that the U.S. is engaged in two major trade initiatives. We all know that TPP has been very, very central. We've been involved in this negotiation for over 4 years. Japan joined TPP just over a year ago. With Japan in TPP, the U.S. and Japan, these two countries constitute about 80% of the total trade, total GDP in the TPP. So TPP is very, very important with Japan in it. On the other hand, when we take a look at Japan, we do know that there is protectionism. The Japan, a word that you learn in Japanese is mamoru. It's called protection. And in almost in every speech that's given by a Japanese politician, this is in there. But we do think that Abe, the Prime Minister, is doing his very best to affect change within that market. For many of us, the change is not fast enough. For them, the change is probably too fast. But we do have both these nations working at this. Our negotiators need to be complimented for the efforts they're making, both from both sides, I guess, because they're together constantly. There have been basically nonstop negotiations, if you will, between our two governments. And hopefully they'll be able to come to some kind of a mutual satisfaction for the good of both countries and for the greater TPP group itself. I think it's important to know Japan, in the past, every EPA or FTA that they've conducted, they've never gone to zero as far as agricultural protection. So this is something that we stand very strong on. and it's something that they stand very strong on. So there is still much to be done, but it's even greater than that. There's auto issues that are involved in this. There's developing nations within TPP versus the developed issues, and there's other non-agricultural issues that are part of this as well. So there's a lot to be done, but hopefully that can be worked out. I think when it comes to Europe, we see the TTIP as an opportunity, as does everybody. This was initiated by the Europeans. We see Europe being almost, and the United States, those two economies, if you look at greater Europe, you're looking at about half the GDP of the earth, basically, of the planet. So it's significant that these two countries could come together. And there's a lot of differences, but I think that we always seem to do better if we can look at the areas we have in common and go forward. I will say this, in Europe, I was just there 10 days ago, the NGOs are very active in Europe, the people who are against this. Obviously, this is going to be an issue that I think even the Commission and the European Parliament are going to have to deal with, because it's very significant, the opposition to trade to some degree, but also to trade with the United States to a larger degree seems to be a major, major issue. I think as a result of some of these agreements, as we are negotiating these big macro agreements, we also have to be conscious of our competition. And I think we all saw here just recently that Japan concluded an EPA with the Australians, an economic partnership agreement. This is significant because probably within the next 3 to 4 months, Japan's chilled duty will come down 6% and frozen duty on beef will come down 8%. So the Australians and many of our competitors, they've already had FTAs or EPAs with many of these countries, and they naturally are going to be selling their products at an advantage. And of course, at the same time, they're saying, as the Japanese have announced, they're basically saying that all countries will be treated the same as whatever we end up with from the United States. So there's a tremendous push by a lot of these other countries to push the United States so they can even get a better deal than what they have now. But in the meantime, as we hold out, trying to get the best deal possible for our producers and processors and for the general economy, we do have our competition that are becoming very much a factor. I think we have other challenges that befall us, but I think that in the interest of time, I'd like to turn this over to the other directors who are coming directly from the market. And as I say, they have a unique perspective in these markets, and I think you'll enjoy hearing from them directly. So with that, I'd like to stop, and I'll turn it over to Joe, and you can take it from here.